Well, greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight right here on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great program for you tonight. Want you to call a friend or a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is live on the air tonight right here on WWCR. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for men to give an account. Let's just suppose if we was to use a hypothetical sense of a happening here in America, for that case around the world. Let's just use America. Let's say that in the midst of a cataclysmic event that we had martial law imposed, what would we do? What would you do? How much food would you have? How much water? And how much safety? Do you have a plan of action, a contingency planned? You know, the ant, he prepares his food in the summer. In the winter months, you won't see him out bouncing around over the snow or trying to gather up some food. So the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, then cometh the sudden destruction. Let me show you what would happen. Let's just say that, let's just give you a hypothetical here, and this is in no way reflects what is to be. In any way, other than there is a distinct possibility, and so we should prepare. We should think about these things, and think upon these things, and be ready. Remember, the Messiah was out of the same mindset. He, matter of fact, in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said there was a time of trouble such as the world had never seen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that must be future, but how far into the future is it? Are we getting down into the time of history that he foresaw? An answer clearly could be a resounding yes. The end time scenarios, the signs, are here. Did you know that if we had, let's say that we had maybe a nuclear explosion on American soil. Did you know what Tommy Frank said? And we'll get into some of the aspects of martial law and the executive orders that brought about the laws and what would happen in case that it did. For instance, gasoline prices, which are now, I mean, America is really beginning to feel the pinch at the pump. Under the Bush administration, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, it doesn't matter who's in there. It's just a sign of the times. And we're going to have to realize that there is a gas shortage. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I beg to differ with you. This is one of the most liberal presidents, talking about Bush, who, by the way, made his fortune, his father and grandfather, and his ancestors made their money in oil and banking and a few more enterprises that we won't get into right now for the sake of time. But the gasoline prices, if there was a need for, let's say, martial law, gasoline prices would increase 500% immediately. With a ration. Most America can't remember World War II gas rationing. I can remember that. When you had to have a little stamp book to purchase gasoline. That's how it was back then, and there were plenty of gas then. It's just that most of it was being used for the war effort. So martial law would commandeer all of the gas or the gas pumps around the nation course, the government has gas reserves, especially for military purposes to defend the country, they say. But in case of a martial law being declared, gasoline would be also under the rule of the government. In other words, free enterprise would cease from being. You would actually have no permission to travel on the interstate. Did you know interstates were originally set up for military purposes? And so then, the military purposes would be to move equipment, people, or things over the highways instead of the commerce and the daily going to and fro in America. America is one of the most addicted countries to going, and the automobile is the source. Now, I have said long before that there is alternative sources, but the government is not investing heavily in these other alternative sources, other fuel things, because men, international bankers, and political proponents of oil are sticking with oil. We could, I believe there's technology right now to do away with all types of utility energy, fossil fuels. And that's not being permitted to come out and won't be. Simply because there's a reason for this, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that they don't want you to live and enjoy yourself or have the luxury of having free fuel, heat, and sources to, for your home and your automobile. It's because they want control. And when you keep a population licking the dust from the boots of those who have their boots on your neck, so to speak. And it's getting to where we are now being herded into certain segments, society, when I'm talking about society and their groups, and we are like selected cattle. And they've got a place for cattle. You know, the stock barn is for cattle. Well, under martial law, they have a place for you to reside in. And that means forced labor camps. Now, we already know about Hitler and those notorious death camps that we've been told about, or supposedly death camps or labor camps that were built in Poland in Eastern Europe by this Nazi war machine. And it looks like that some of our leaders have learned well, because here in America, if you look at the martial law agenda and the preparation in case of the things that you've got to understand, then food prices and gasoline prices under martial law, food prices would go through the roof. Gasoline, if you're paying $5 a gallon for it, let's say, that means that if you would pay over $10 a gallon if you could get it, and you probably couldn't, even if you could get it. And so then, your silver and your gold, most people are turning to silver and gold, and that's well and good. That's real money. That'll always be worth something. Better to have silver and gold than to have Federal Reserve notes. But you can't operate now in the society until it crashes. And it looks like through the housing depression and the recession of the economy, it's growing into a depression. And so all of the signs are gathering like the buzzards that would gather over a dead carcass. Is America dying because of our wrong turns? Is it dying because we have lost our faith in our Creator? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about the founding of our country and how it was founded and who founded it. You might be surprised that maybe from the word go that we were founded under a satanic group of men that had this very day in mind when they founded our country. And you say, well, it was a republic, and that's well and good. But you can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Republic. That's offensive. Because it contains the word God. And there's so many ethnic groups in America now, the division is so great. It wasn't that way in World War II. But since World War II, well, let's go on back to 1913. Right before World War I, the giant pincher claws of the New World Order begin to press down upon the neck of the citizens of the United States. And we had our mind on Germany and the German Republic since 1924. We've started looking at them. The German Republic was founded in 1924. And so it was a republic. And yet Hitler managed, if we look back at history, he managed through executive orders to change the republic into a steel trap for its citizens who had no way to escape Hitler's martial law. I mean, when it came in, they had to follow suit, and so would we in America. We wouldn't have any recourse, really. Because it's bigger. This country is so big and so large, and communication is so vital. When communication goes down, what type of communication system do you think? When you can't use your phones, when your cell phones don't work, when you can't go into your computer, and you can't hook up to your buddy up the street, or around the world for that matter, when you can't get CNN and NBC, when it's blank, when your screens are silent and blank, won't even come on, let's say. What are we going to do? What would you do? How much food do you have? At that day, food will be more valuable than gold. Your provisions, your knowledge to prepare. Now, I know we went through this in Y2K. We were literally scared to death by the people on the shortwave and other places. And, of course, it made for good business because the economy back in the 1997, 1998, 1999, as it grew closer, people began to stockpile large amounts of food and water and the things of this nature, gasoline and fuels and stuff, and nothing happened. And now, the apathy of the people, oh, I've heard this before, Brother Buddy, and this message is falling on deaf ears. I'm not going to get caught up and gather up a lot of food. That ain't going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, shouldn't you have at least enough food supplies in your pantry? I ain't talking about giant warehouses, because the average family, and there is certain rules in certain religious groups around the country that require from 1 to 3 years of provisions, and yet that's against the law. The government has a no hoarding law already through executive order on the books. You're not allowed to do that legally. But when these times come, just like it was in the German Republic, like the former Soviet Union, and Cuba, let's say Argentina in 86, Iran in 1979, and the Russian Empire 1917, we already know what the consequences are going to be if we have what is described as martial law. And martial law could come in just with one terrorist bomb threat, if it's mini nuke, or if it's, let's say, it's a biological warfare and large populations in a city was to start getting sick and a pandemonium would break out, the government would be forced to bring in martial law. Now, they have to think. The government really has to think, if you will. They have to think in the terms of that possibility happening. Now, if it was to happen, what would we do? Did you know that this nation, and we call it a democratic society, we've changed from a republic, which was governed by the states, to now a federal jurisdiction of Washington, D.C. But let's go back to Washington, D.C. and see how this country was designed and for what purposes. It's real interesting. There's a reason that the people, the elite, from the very beginning, and ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing to indicate that it is not still under their control. The highest members of the occult brotherhood, past and present, consider themselves the honorary recipients of the 33rd degree. It would be impossible to acquire 33rd degrees through the academic institutions of America or Europe, for that matter, in one lifetime. But only through the membership in the secret fraternal institutions of the occult can the 33rd degrees be obtained. And so this is a special thing about the 33rd degree. And the reason that I bring this to your attention, America exists today as the greatest economic and military power in modern times. There is no nation, we're told, there is no nation that is as powerful and wields as much power and intimidation for other nations around the country. There's no nation that can hold a light to us. And yet, for the first time, we are importing corn. For the first time in the history of America, we're importing corn from foreign countries. And wheat. Did you know now that wheat is getting scarce? Now, this is for bread. This is for bread, water. I did a series on water, bread and water. Now, if you really consider bread and water being the silver and gold of your future, then you might want to try to prepare. And it would be great for you to do so if you have the monetary funds. You see, most people, like myself, are stuck in poverty, having to wait until it's too late. And that's why that we should pray and come together and fast and call upon, because the Messiah said, when you see this day approaching, he said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Now, what if you had to get your family out and you were cold and hungry? And did you know that the supermarkets in America, and oh man, are they loaded? Most of it with GMO stuff, but packaged real good. And now they're telling us that the plastic bottles that we drink from and water, bottled water, I did a series on water and bottle. Now they tell us that they're the danger of drinking from a plastic water bottle because it causes cancer in the lab rats. And so what are we going to do here if we had martial law and the trucks quit delivering? And ladies and gentlemen, if gas goes up anymore, or diesel, it looks like to me that the truckers around America are going to have to strike, not because they want to, but because they can't pay the exorbitant fuel prices. Now, some trucks, it's costing over $2,000 for diesel fuel just to fill up their vehicles. And ladies and gentlemen, they don't go far down the road till they have to refill. Well, something needs to happen because of the intensification and the pressure that's coming up on the average Joe in America. Well, we go to the steel mills of Pennsylvania, the great state of Pennsylvania that produced all the steel in World War I and II. The old steel mills. I have men from around the country that's worked in these steel mills. And they no longer exist. Or if there is a few still in business, but very few, it's hard to compete. With the massive labor force of India and Japan and China, they can come over here and get our raw materials, take them back and turn them into goods and services and deliver them back to the United States consumer. If you don't believe that, just go to Walmart. And you'll see the good old USA Walmart, largest corporation in the world, as they pride themselves in American-made products, and yet 80 to 90% of their products comes out of China and India and Bangladesh and countries like that. The American worker is forced to buy those cheap goods because that's all he can afford. Of course you're going to pay the cheapest price, but you fall right into this trap that somebody has set for you from the very beginning. Let's go back to Washington, D.C. just a moment. The ancient order of Freemasonry had a spiritual design for America at its inception. Did you know that? Some of you do. The location of Washington, D.C. was selected according to the tenets of mystical location. The occult significance in the Earth location. Now, you're going to find this very interesting, and as I did. The longitude of the Federal Capitol building sits exactly on the 77 meridian of 00 minutes, 0.33 seconds. Let me go back over that again, and keep in mind the degree here of 33 and the meridian of 77 is very significant. We're going to tell you why. The latitude is 38 degrees, 53 minutes. In fact, the whole of Washington, D.C. complex was arranged in latitude and longitude that relates to the number 77. The latitude at 38.5 degrees is one half of 77 degrees. Now, somebody that knew about the occult, now the word occult means secret, are men with secret designs to enslave us. And then when we teach the altar aspects of liberty and freedom to free yourself within the sacred circle, people think that we're insane. And yet they'll join the lodges that support the 33rd degree. Did you know that Christ was killed on the 33rd parallel? That he was 33 years of age? And did you know that 77 is a number from biblical association? And it was associated with the ancient patriarch Lamech. According to the book of Jasher, according to the Talmud, which I don't bother to read, but it's in there, and the Midrash, Lamech accidentally killed Cain. I don't know where you know that, but that's what the book of Jasher says. And the book of Jasher is mentioned in your King James Bible, along with others. And because Lamech understood God's sevenfold curse on anyone harming Cain. That's very interesting here. But this is how the fear, or the reality, or the superstition, as long as they can make you think, it's just a good old boys down at the local lodge, and your Shriners that's up in the burn hospital, as long as they can get away with that, everything's fine. But according to the book of Jasher, Lamech killed, accidentally now, he killed Cain. And Lamech, knowing the sevenfold curse on anyone harming Cain, he cursed anyone harming him 70 plus 7 times. So anybody that harmed Lamech was cursed 77 times. Axiomatically, since Yahweh himself swore to revenge Cain, Lamech's curse was directed against the Creator. Now, that starts the fundamental building blocks of what I'm talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're already under a law of control. It may not be martial law, because you can go from state to state, and you don't have to have any authorization. You can just get in your car, and you can drive from here to the ocean. For that matter, you can get on a boat and sell away if you get your passport. However, you have to do it within the control regulation, so you're not free. You have to have a driver's license to go from point A to point B. You have to have a Social Security card to work at point A that manufactures something over to point B. So goods and services are all controlled in this federal jurisdiction that was given in a power setting of latitude 38.5 degrees. And did you know that the correct altar dimension is 39.6? So there is an antidote for the curse of Cain. But people are so fearful and superstitious and so unbelieving that they will not bother. I mean, they're sort of puzzled and intrigued by some of the mysteries that, if you want to talk about the mysterious orders, everybody's curious and they want to know, but that's about as far as it goes. But did you know that in Washington, let's go to the Washington Monument for just a minute, that the Washington Monument, and it's, by the way, it's the largest tower, if you will, in the world. And it resides in Washington, D.C., and it's 555 feet tall. You say, well, whoopity-doo, what's that got to do with the price of corn? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you go back to inches, it's 6,660 inches tall. And 6 is actually the date of America's founding, 1776. Twice 888. And that's the Greek number for the letters for Jesus. Now, if you look at the secret meaning of this date, it's discovered in the understanding of the two advents of Jesus Christ, if we can call him that for just a moment for your information, and I'll show you why that these things are so captivating. It can be speculated that America's supernatural purpose, according to the occult elite, is to initiate his second coming. So when Jesus Christ returns again in his second coming, the number is double, if you double it from 888 to 1776, and the occult version is that Jesus is Lucifer, the light bearer. And the name relates to 666, in the Greek and both the Hebrew. So, ladies and gentlemen, somebody with a lot of understanding and a lot of occult powers. Occult, again, mean hidden. A lot of hidden powers have been gone into these things, and it all started with Lamech when he accidentally killed Cain, and we have these calculations of 77 degrees. If you really look at the Bible and its aspects, and going back even to the fall of Babylon by King Cyrus in 539 B.C., 538 B.C., it was Cyrus who released the captivity of the house of Judah. And they returned to build a temple in Jerusalem. This is all coming back to the numbering system that was taught by Solomon and the elite, and the master builders, the craftsmen, the square and the compass. Did you know it takes a compass to build a sacred altar? Did you know the altar is designed as the constellations in the heaven, that there's 12 constellations? Actually, it's 13, but for correct numerical purposes, there is 12, and within this 12 is the unification of the relationship of 77 times 7. And so you can calculate the 77 degree longitude in Washington, D.C. Its hidden symbol is of the Babylonian captivity of Judah. 77.07 times 7.7 minus 7 equals 586 B.C., the beginning of Judah's exile. And 77 times 7 equals 539 B.C., the end of Judah's exile. Now, smart men knew about this. Your friend Solomon, who built the original temple, the numbers and the drawings were given to him exclusively to David, his father, given by Yahweh. So the great mathematician of heaven shared these sacred numbers with man. And man, in his attempt to control, not releasing freedom and set you free, but to bring about the founding date, factors into the beast of Revelation 1776 plus 666 times 6 equals 5772. And as it just so happens, 5772 is the Hebrew calendar year for 20 and 12. And I did 12 hours series on that just, back 6 months ago. The proportion between the Hebrew year of 20 and 12 and the founding date of America is hexagonal. In other words, 5772 minus 666 times 6 equals 1776. Hexagonal. The altar's a perfect circle. Somebody's entrapped and enslaved through numerical systems, and something has gone amiss in our country. 12 times 333 plus 1776 again equals 5772, which breaks down to 20 and 12. So 5772 is from the advent of Adam using the chronology of the Bible. 5772 comes up to the date 20 and 12. Are we going to be enslaved? Total abandonment of the freedom that you thought you had? You know, you cage a tiger, put him in a cage. He's free to roam around within the cage, but the cage is his restriction. We're free to roam around in this country as long as we follow the rules. You're not really free. You just think you are. Now, the Bible says that they shall deceive them that dwell on earth by the means of the miracles which the beast had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast, and that the wound by a sword that the beast had would be healed, and he would live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many should worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelations 13, and Revelations again 13 is the chapter that identifies America. It started out as an innocent lamb, but grew horns and became violent. Ladies and gentlemen, are we now on the verge of World War III that I've been long advocating is coming? Are you ready for that day when your food shelves and pantries are bare? Do you have a surplus, ample surplus to survive? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, who in the world would want to survive? Well, that's what Christ said. He said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And pray that it don't be on the Sabbath. He even knew that nature and the signs of heavens, it's displayed in Matthew chapter 24. And the Washington Monument was designed as a tribute to George Washington. And George was a full-fledged 33rd degree Mason. George, in its interpretation for the meaning of George, means earth worker or clod breaker. And as a 33rd degree Freemason, George considered himself, as do all high-ranking fraternal members of the order, to be descended from the line of Cain, the first clodbreaker or farmer and the first murderer. My heavens, ladies and gentlemen, have we been reversed out of freedom into the cage and have been treated as goyim? As Nebuchadnezzar began to do the things that he done, which is the institution of Babylon. And we find some corresponding characteristical similarities of the present day countries as they've been arranged to make people think they have a choice. We've got a political choice right now. We can vote Democratic or Republican, but if you are a libertarian, you know your candidate's not going to win. You can go vote for him, but you know he ain't going to win. And you also know that the Republican and Democratic Party has spent over $1 billion between the three candidates. Had several in the field, and they were weeded out. But total cost for the political chance to run for president of America. Somebody's got to sell their soul to get in there, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think they do, if you think a little poor guy from Illinois that didn't have nothing but a gangster backing to get to where he's at now, and if you think that all the money that's being funneled into his account to give him unlimited funds, he hasn't had any problem of getting money to run for president. And yet they say it's the grassroots that are the 5 and 10 guys that are supporting him. I doubt that. There's big money behind all three candidates, for that matter, that we have running. Big money. Because they take no chances. The system that is designed to bring in the seat of the beast. Now, the seat of the beast is the power place. And then the president, through his executive orders, and most of the time, Congress is nothing but a rubber stamp for the elite anyway, as you all very well know. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen, and that when they say peace and safety, then and only then cometh what? Sudden what? sudden destruction. So how are you going to survive? And I do believe that the only way that a person is going to survive is not necessarily based on silver and gold, but based on the love and the wisdom and the knowledge of your brothers and sister. When you see this day approach, have a contingency plan together with those of like mind. That's when birds of a feather will flock together. And only those who have planned and purposed to survive the coming depression, recession, or even martial law. I'm going to go into some of the things that martial law would require for you to survive the economic crashes, the internal unrest, and the military suppression or occupation. Did you know that we now have a treaty with Canada that gives them, I'm talking about them now, gives them the right to send Canadian soldiers? And you would think, well, there's nothing wrong with the Canadian soldiers. They're just like Americans. I beg your pardon. The Canadian Army is now no longer stocked with Canadian soldiers, but immigrants that have come into Canada and have joined the military. And so then, you don't know what you're getting. If you go to Canada right now, I'm telling you, I've got some friends in Canada, and they can tell you real quick that the average Canadian is pushed off to the side, and the immigrants are being given the privileges of government just like it is here in America. There's something wrong with what the original fathers did to our country. And now we're beginning to look back and say, we were never free. We were just all put in a cage and told that we were free. And now the perimeters, we're actually bumping the governors of the perimeters, finding out that we're not free. And we're just one heartbeat. We're just one stroke of a president's pen to tell us that we're under martial law. Now let's get into martial law, and I'm not going to take a break here because I've got too much to lay on your plate tonight. And I want you to consider yourself with this. What would you do if martial law was declared? Now, I'm going to give you some following things that would help you to get ready in the event. Now it could happen. So you want to think about your safety and your family and your friends. Martial law is defined as military rule or authority imposed on the civilian population when the civil authorities cannot maintain law and order, as in a time of war or during an emergency. I mentioned Hitler. He turned Germany into a Nazi dictatorship through executive orders. He didn't have the republic to give him these laws. He signed executive orders. Now, let me show you what executive order that we have here, already on the book, ladies and gentlemen, that the president has this power. Executive order number 10-995. All communication media is to be seized by the federal government, radio, TV, newspapers, CB, ham, telephones, and internet will be under federal control. Hence, the First Amendment will be suspended indefinitely. Executive order 10-997. All electrical power, fuels, and all minerals will be seized and owned outright by the federal government. Here's the one that I'm concerned about. This is the one that I'm really concerned about right tonight. And my heart is in this tonight because I prayed to get out of this message and the Father wouldn't let me. So I got to preach it. Executive Order 10-998. All food resources, farms, and farm equipment will be seized by the government. You will not be allowed to hoard food since this is regulated. And I didn't mention that in my Tex. Executive Order 10999. All modes of transportation will go into government control. Any vehicle may be seized at anywhere at any time with no care or thought of the occupants that are evicted from the vehicles. In other words, you could be driving down a road trying to flee, and the military could stop, commandeer your vehicle, make you get out and walk wherever you're going. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Better hope it ain't, and you're trying to get away with your family to somewhere where you already ought to have been. So, ladies and gentlemen, you better pray about this, and pray hard. Executive Order 11,000. Listen to this one. All civilians can be used for work under federal supervision. Forced labor. Well, we talk about Hitler looking back in history, and here we are. We got the same laws on the books, and we're subject to it at any moment. It happened overnight. Executive Order 11490. Establish presidential control over all U.S. citizens, business, churches. In a time of emergency. And these are all on the books, ladies and gentlemen. Executive Order 12919 directs various cabinet officials to be constantly ready to take over virtually all aspects of the U.S. economy during a state of national emergency at the direction of the president. Executive Order, listen to this one now, 13010 directs FEMA. Uh-oh, boy, does New Orleans come to mind. And ladies and gentlemen, you know who directs FEMA right now. I'm telling you. Boy, they did a marvelous job. Just ask the people down in New Orleans. It directs FEMA. Federal Emergency Management Association. To take control over all government agencies in time of emergency, FEMA is under control of the executive branch of the government. Executive Order 13010. Executive Order Number 12656, Assignment of Emergency Preparation and Their Responsibilities, is a national emergency. What's to arise at any occurrence, including natural disaster, military attack, technological emergency, or other emergency that seriously degrades or seriously threatens the national security of the United States. Policy for national security emergency preparation shall be established by the president. This order includes federal takeover of all local law enforcement agencies, wage and price controls. It prohibits you from moving assets in or out of the United States. It creates a draft, controls all travel in and out of the United States, and much more. Martial law can be declared due to natural disasters, Y2K crisis, the stock market crash, electrical failures, riots, biological or nuclear attack, or anything that leads to the breakdown of law and order. Now, how are you going to survive? Well, you got to prepare before any declaration of martial law by coming self-reliant. You got to know what to do, where to go, and what to do. You got to know that. All those things are very important for you to know that. You ought to think about that. You ought to plan for that. Have a contingency plan. Now, you can't travel. It'd be limited unless you know the back roads, because all military checkpoints will be on. You say, well, if it's a military, I'd want to pass through the checkpoints. Not necessarily. They can commandeer you, your vehicle, take your possessions, and put you to walking. Or they could put you in a concentration camp and force you to labor. Avoid areas of martial law. It can be imposed due to natural disasters or man-caused events. It's important to have a retreat or a place in a rural area away from populated areas. And I have warned you, get out of the cities. Become transparent, if you can, in the sense that you do not draw attention to yourself or your family. Don't tell people what you're doing about storing food. Don't go around bragging you got this and that at your local bar. You know, don't go have a few drinks with your buddies and start bragging about what you've got and you're ready. That your buddies will be over to see you. And they won't come peacefully either. Because a hungry man will kill for food. He don't want silver. He don't want gold. You can't eat that. You can't survive on that. You only survive on food. And food will be one of the things that you need to prepare for, to have. Do not get caught up in civil unrest. Don't join the rioters. You know, the people are going to go down to the Social Security office and protest if they can't get their Social Security check. They'll be down there banging on a dishpan, empty dishpan, screaming blood and murder, and they want their checks. They won't be none, ladies and gentlemen. They'll be over to the supermarket, breaking the windows out, trying to get something out of the store that was cleaned out in 3 days after martial law was declared anyway. I mean, it can come a snow down here in the south, or a threatened snow, just a forecast snow, and you better get over real quick, because by evening, all your milk and bread's already left off the shelves, ladies and gentlemen, and we've seen this happen many, many times. Now, if there's no replenishment of those, now, what about your freedom of speech and freedom of assembly? Well, it can be suspended, and censorship of the media imposed. Gun ownership will also come under severe attack during martial law. You'll see house-to-house searches by the military and National Guard looking for guns and seizing any that they find along with stored food. That's what they're going to be looking for, ladies and gentlemen. Realize that you've got some hard choices here, because I got to get out of here. My time is come and gone, but I want you to think about these things. These are just possibilities. I'm not predicting they're going to happen. Just want you to think about what would you do in case it did happen. And there is a chance we could have a terrorist attack, whether it be stage planned or otherwise. We could have electrical failure, growing unrest, depression. I don't know if you can remember, like I said, I remember gas rationing, and I'm only 72 years old. I can remember gas that was rationed and tires were rationed. Oil is a major, major need to keep a nation off its knees. Without it, that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm predicting that we're going into World War III here pretty soon, and the fight and the battle is going to be for the supremacy of the natural resources of countries that are able to produce them. So if you're a nation that's rich in oil, look out. Your day is here. You know why? Because there's a time of trouble such as the world has ever seen, and the Illuminati who planned this back in 1776 and beyond. It just didn't hatch it up overnight, ladies and gentlemen. This has been planned for a long time. And if you want to read the rest of the story, just purchase you a book written by one of the prophets of the New World Order. And you'll see about this Southern general who wrote about the plan of the New World Order. And he predicted 3 world wars. I taught on that during the 2012 series. So you're listening to The Shepherd's Calling, Pastor Buddy, and I've sure enjoyed being with you tonight. May Yahweh take a good liking to you, and may you think about what Pastor Buddy has said. May you prepare you and your family. May you get down on your knees to pray tonight instead of watching the ball games or instead of trying to entertain yourself in front of the dumb tube. Humble yourself down and get on your knees and take your family to the prayer chamber and look up. For if this nation, which is called by his name, shall humble himself and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he'll hear from heaven and heal the land. That's the only hope we got, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Buddy, you can write me tonight at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live here tonight on Sunday night on WWCR 507 around the world. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Call my good friend Dr. Gary at 877-289-7439. And my good friend Brother Paul for STEM Tech information at 1-800-253-2748. Ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall's caught up with me, and I got to get out of here. And you can hear me and Brother Randall talking about the current events and the time of trouble, ladies and gentlemen, on WWRB 3.185 Around the World Clear Channel. That's the Scott Man and myself on Friday night at 11 Eastern Standard Time. You can hear Pastor Buddy at WWRB 3.185 on Saturday night at 8 Eastern Standard Time Around the World on Clear Channel. You can hear me again next Sunday night. I'll be here at WWCR 5070 Around the World with the Shepherd's Call broadcast. I'll see you. Yahweh bless you and keep you safe.